Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. Joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. And we are coming to you on location this week, folks. Bozeman, Montana, for number 2, South Dakota State, versus number 3, Montana State. Stone, we're going to be here, and we are going to bring all the coverage of this huge early season ball game. These out-of-conference matchups before the conference season gets started, they're starting to happen more and more. And not only do we get these in the playoffs, we're getting them early in the season now, too. And with this 12th game, I hope this is a trend that continues.
Kev, first time in Montana, first time obviously in Bozeman. I'm excited to get out there. I hear this is the best fan base in college football. You hear him say it all the time. It's one of the two Montana schools, so I'm excited to get eyes on the better one of the two. I think Montana State's really good, and I'm excited to see how they're rocking.
Well, y'all, nothing pleases us more than when our 63 scholarship teams jump up and beat an 85 or unlimited, whatever they're doing now up at the FBS level. When we jump up and bite one of them and take their pride, a huge paycheck, and a victory back to our FCS campus. It happened twice last week, and it almost happened in a third place. But up first, Tarleton State 30, Army 27 in overtime. A whale of a game, Stone. Tarleton State, every time it looked like Army was going to maybe wear them down, maybe with that relentless option attack, sort of seize control of the ball game, Tarleton State just made another play, dude.
They just made another play, and you're right. It seemed like Army was going to pull away. They find themselves with a 2-touchdown lead midway through the third quarter, and you think, okay, here we go. They put up a good fight. It lasted 3 quarters. Awesome. Counted as a moral victory, but they had other plans, and they laid their hearts right there on the turf. This is a gigantic win for the Texans.
And in the post-game press conference, Jeff Monken did not say they whipped our fannies, although he could have. Austin Peay, 34, Middle Tennessee State, 14. Stone, they put a whooping on Middle Tennessee. Like, this wasn't close. Austin Peay marched in there unranked by us, by everybody. Not a whole lot was expected, but this seems to be a group, bunch of new guys on the team that Jeff Ferris, their head coach, has got the buy-in from. Austin Peay's dangerous going forward in the FCS.
Kevin, this was never, ever, ever a game like you said. They jumped out to that 14-0 lead. They led by double digits the rest of the way. This is a massive, massive win. They outgained them 341 to 153. That's hysterical.
And they whipped them in the trenches, Stone. You don't really see that right. Very often. They whipped them up front on both sides of the ball, and it was a glorious and beautiful thing to see if you're an FCS fan. And it almost happened at Kansas State, dude. North Dakota went there and probably should have won that ball game, Stone. They did everything but win. And it really sucks that they couldn't find a way to win it there at the end.
You invite the Fighting Hawks in and you almost get scalped. There is no team in the FCS that plays better in these FCS, FBS, or just bigger games overall than the Fighting Hawks, regardless of who they have on the roster and what it looks like on paper. The staff knows how to game plan better than anybody else. They got every trick, every gadget they need. This was, for me, counting it as a win for the Fighting Hawks.
And another action from around the subdivision. Number 1, North Dakota State, 38. The Citadel, nothing. Stone, it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter in a monsoon. And then during the break from the first quarter to the second quarter, it quit raining, and that was all she wrote for the Citadel in this one.
It was all she wrote. I love the way Citadel played in that first quarter. I was smiling cheek-to-cheek watching this one early on, thinking that you were smiling cheek-to-cheek because your guys were competing in the trenches. There were plenty of times that the Bulldogs got North Dakota State in these third and long situations in the first quarter, of course. But as soon as that rain slowed and seemed like this front seven kind of got their feet beneath them, they knew where they were. They knew what time it was. They know they're defending champs, and they kind of put it on display. Cole Payton was clean. I didn't think he was that impressive, though, but also not a game where you get to kind of flex your muscles.
Well, he's not aesthetically pleasing, Stone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, watching him play quarterback isn't like poetry in motion or anything. He gets the job done. Yeah. And with that Bison group on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive line, the backs they had, that's all they're going to ask him to do this year. And I think they're going to continue to be very successful doing it. Shout out to Citadel defensive back Bradley Jones. He held Bryce Lance to 4 catches for 34 yards. Bradley Jones is a fella you're going to want to watch on defense for the Citadel the rest of the year. Number 2, South Dakota State, 29. Number 17, Sacramento State, 3. And that was the JV game, Stone. And the go-go offense, well, it didn't go nowhere. They had less than 200 yards total for the ball game. With all that lip flapping that came out of Sacramento, California, they backed up absolutely none of it.
Backing up absolutely none of it, to be honest with you, is an understatement. This team embarrassed themselves flat out, point blank. I embarrassed myself hitching my wagon to these guys. The only thing that made me feel better was watching earlier this week Bill Belichick take the field with 70 new guys, and they got blown out, right? It just kind of put into perspective that you bring in all of these new guys, and it's tough to build chemistry, but you can play the circus music. You can clown me for the prediction, but I don't know if you heard Dabo Sweeney's quote post-game against their game against LSU. He said, and this was like getting an exam on the first day, one team scored a 65%, the other scored a 58%. Nobody played well. I felt that about this game. Sacramento State was abysmal, but I didn't think South Dakota State was all that good either. They just jogged jumbo out there, 12, 13 personnel. It was a fullback. I saw some bellies, some counter. It almost looked like they were running Veer. Chase Mason got under center a bunch. Like, they were just bigger and more seasoned than Sacramento State and just ran the ball right through their face. I didn't think Chase Mason was able to get outside the box. Obviously, when you go to South Dakota State, they take the keys away from you and they turn you into the quarterback that they want. And that's exactly the vibe that I got. I didn't think South Dakota State played all that well. We're going to get more of a visual of what these guys actually are with Montana State this weekend. But I thought both teams were eh. I thought Sacramento State was one of the worst teams of the weekend. Jaden Rashada was an absolute embarrassment. This offense tried to do way too much, and they got caught up. It was just, like I said, embarrassing from all parties, Sacramento State-wise.
I could hear the disdain in your voice describing the South Dakota State offense. Stone, that's called football. That's called the way football has been played for 100 years. You know who decides it? Not a flashy quarterback, not the nil money. It's big dudes running into each other up front, and one of them just taking the other man's will and showing it to him, dude. That's what happened in Brookings. That was called football. It's not sexy. It's not flashy. But you know what? It works and it wins. And that's the Jackrabbits. That's who they are. And I don't expect them to change. Number 7 from the FBS, Oregon, 59. Number 3, Montana State, 13. Stone, you take away what Taco Dowler did. And the pretty decent quarterback play Montana State got. The young man can play the quarterback position, proved himself competent. They're going to have that ability to throw the football against FCS competition. But other than that, I think they learned what they wanted to learn, which was we have a guy under center and in the shotgun who can do the things we're going to need him to do. They got a big check. Everybody came out healthy. A successful trip for Montana State.
I literally have nothing to add. That was beautifully said. I think you learned what you wanted to learn. Justin Lamson played a really clean football game, 23-31. Taco Dowler is an absolute dude. And yes, Justin can sit back in the gun and convert third downs. And that's key, especially heading into this weekend against the Jacks.
Number 22 of the Football Bowl subdivision, Iowa State 55. Number 4, South Dakota 7. Not a lot to see here. I thought the Yotes would compete better than that. But I think that says more about Iowa State than it does South Dakota. That's an underrated FBS football team, ranked number 22 last week.
Iowa State is just a really good football team. It was cool, though, to see Aiden Bauman, 13 play, 75-yard drive right out of the gates. And the Avalanche came down, and there was nothing they could do, Kev.
Washington State, 13. Number 5, Idaho, 10. If you're the Vandals, you got to feel like this one got away from you a little bit, Stone. You hold an FBS team to 3 yards rushing, You've done something. And on the flip side, got to improve the passing game. Idaho only threw the ball for 33 yards.
Yeah.
You've got to be way better than that in the Big Sky Conference. I think they will be. Idaho's a team that I think is underrated. And I think some people are finally starting to come around to the fact that this is going to be a good football team and a team that nobody's going to want to see the rest of the way. Number 21, Lehigh, 21. Number 15, Richmond, 14. I was wrong about this when I thought Richmond would come in and win the battle up front at the line of scrimmage. Not right, not correct, not close to it. Lehigh won that. They shut down Richmond's offense, and the Spiders really couldn't do a thing when they had the football. Of those 14 points, 7 of them came on a kickoff return. So Richmond's offense scored 7 points in this ball game against Lehigh. Lehigh's defense is legit. And that was the replay segment brought to you by GameStrat. It's time for us to take a quick break. When you come back, we'll have this week's top 25, and we'll unveil the National Players of the Week brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. I hold in my hand the brand new FCS Nation Radio Top 25 for week one, and here it is. Number one, the North Dakota State Bison. Number two, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Number three, the Montana State Bobcats. Number four, the Tarleton State Texans. And rounding out the top five, the Idaho Vandals. Stone, there have been some slings and some arrows and some not-so-kind words about us having Idaho ranked so high in the preseason. I think they gave us a little bit of why we thought that in that ball game last week against Washington State. I think we'll see that going forward from Idaho the rest of the way. And you had to put Tarleton State in the top five. They'd be an FBS opponent in Army. So I'm not sure what's going to happen after this week with South Dakota State and Montana State meeting in Bozeman where we are. But Tarleton, if they continue to handle their business, at some point you have to feel like maybe they'll pass one of those, won't they?
It's an interesting question, and it's one I think people in the subdivision have never had to ask themselves, or at least in recent history, right? But Tarleton has an argument. Right, if you're looking at the Jacks and you're looking at Montana State, up until the game this weekend, there's nothing on paper, there's nothing on tape for you to sit there, besides going back in time in years past, right, to say that this team is warranted of staying there and not letting Tarleton pass them. But bottom line is, Tarleton State, the Texans, they're a top five team. There's legitimately no argument you could make. And yeah, if the Bobcats, if South Dakota State go out and lay an egg or somebody gets hurt, here come the Texans.
Number six, the South Dakota Coyotes. Number seven, the Montana Grizzlies. Number eight, the Illinois State Redbirds. Number nine, the Villanova Wildcats. And rounding out the top ten, the Nichols Colonels. Nichols rose with a bullet, Stone. That is a very solid defensive ball club, and I know you like their quarterback a whole bunch. And number seven, Montana, is intriguing, because I kind of have an idea what's going to happen with that football team. They're not going to settle on a quarterback. It's going to go on all season, the question marks, the coach out being asked questions about it. It don't have to be this way, Grizz fans, does it? Maybe that's the way the head guy likes it. It must be, because it's this way so often. So you say, maybe one guy will seize control. Probably not. It's probably not what's going to happen. But it's just going to be telling for the Grizz all year. The Grizz are going to go as far as the quarterback can take them this year. And that's the story of the University of Montana most years. And one spot above them, South Dakota, you got to flush what happened last week right out of your mind and get ready for a tough ball game this week on the road against Lamar, which is not the Lamar of 2-3 years ago. They're much improved. You can't let the Cyclones beat you twice. I don't think that'll happen, but we'll see what USD is made of. They have some new guys in key positions. Are they going to be able to do what I just said, flush it out of their minds, go out there and play this week, and don't let that FBS loss beat them twice? Number 11, the Rhode Island Rams. Number 12, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Rising to number 13, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Also rising to number 14, the Austin Peay Governors. Rounding out the top 15, the UC Davis Aggies. Some real intriguing teams in this group. Rhode Island, experienced quarterback, hell of a defensive player in Pena, the linebacker. Probably should win Defensive Player of the Year if he can stay healthy. He affects everything the other team does in the offensive game plan. In North Dakota, they earned the right to be in this group after what they did last week against their FBS opponent, Kansas State, and Austin Peay. Well, they're waving a scalp over their head of an FBS team. UC Davis had the no contest. Then they needed to come back late to beat Utah Tech. But they have Caden Pinnick, and that guy's going to get nothing but better as the season rolls on. That's why they're still here in the top 15. And Southern Illinois, Stone, that's your alma mater, DJ Williams, the quarterback. Let's speak about what he brings to the table for the Salukis and how that's a group that could see themselves rising like a meteor in this poll.
Yeah, first up, hey, the 11 to 15, these are the movers and the shakers of the top 25 poll in week one. Southern Illinois, with a good performance against a Purdue team, will find themselves right where Nichols is, right? If Nichols wins by, I don't know, a touchdown, maybe 10 points, because of DJ Williams. DJ Williams has just as much skill and talent as Purdue's best skilled player. I know that to be a fact. And you asked me what he has. As cliche as it sounds, he has every single thing that not only an offensive coordinator, but a head coach and an entire locker room is looking for. He is the most well-versed, fluid-speaking quarterback in the subdivision. He is, I think, I could argue, the strongest of the bunch. He's got a lot of Jalen Hurts to him, if you haven't seen him play. He's a thick boy. He's really tough to bring down, and he's got a rocket sewn onto his shoulder. This guy's got, in my opinion, an unlimited ceiling, and I'm just excited for the subdivision to find out and stop thinking that it's just Stone, who used to play at Southern Illinois, trying to gas up his dogs. No, DJ Williams is the real deal, and everybody's going to find out sooner or later once his schedule clears up.
Number 16, the Lehigh Fighting Hawks. Number 17, the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks. Number 18, the Chattanooga Mox. Number 19, Southern Utah. And number 20, the Jackson State Tigers. This group, Lehigh, maybe has the best FCS versus FCS win so far this year, Stone. Northern Arizona, they're entering the poll after being competitive in their FBS game last week. Chattanooga got some work to do. Southern Utah is an intriguing story. I like their head coach, Lane Fitzgerald. And Jackson State, we know they've got the dudes, and they have a winnable FBS game this week at Southern Miss. Number 21, East Tennessee State. Number 22, entering the poll, is Gardner-Webb. All they did was beat Western Carolina last week after trailing the ball game 35-7. They came a-roaring back, and they were able to beat, on the road, a ranked Western Carolina team. Number 23 is Tennessee Tech. 24 is Stony Brook. And rounding out the FCS Nation Radio Top 25 is Tennessee Martin. And here are your FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The National Offensive Player of the Week is Alabama State quarterback Andrew Boddy. He was impressive against Alabama Birmingham, completed 18 of 24 passes for 312 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he toted the mail 16 times for 119 yards and another touchdown. And the FCS Nation Radio National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Big Sky preseason most valuable player, Rex Connors from UC Davis. Connors had 15 tackles, 8 solo tackles, 1 pass breakup, and he's the defensive captain, so he got everybody aligned and got them where they needed to be. Rex Connors is a name you're going to want to remember from UC Davis. Congratulations to Andrew Boddy from Alabama State and Rex Connors from UC Davis for being named the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. Leave your radio dial right where it is. The preview segment's coming up next, right here on FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Lebanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we're going to preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Number one, North Dakota State is at Tennessee State. We're going to find out if Tennessee State can do the one thing that most people can't do in FCS football, and that's matched the physicality that North Dakota State brings every time they step foot on the football field, Stone. It's going to be Tennessee State's opportunity to see how they measure up. I don't really like their chances, but we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Tennessee State does have some athletes. Let's see how they do.
You can't say I fancy their chances either, but I'll tell you what, as far as North Dakota State and their compatriot South Dakota State goes, those two teams, it's impossible to preview their games. I mean, what are you even going to say? Each game script is the exact same thing. They play the same style of ball. They're bigger than you in the trenches. They're going to throw an extra tight end on the field, and they're going to beat you up, and they're going to run right through your chest.
Number two, South Dakota State is at number three, Montana State. Well, we're here in Bozeman for this early season matchup, and both squads found out a little bit about themselves last week. Montana State knows that they have a quarterback who can probably do a lot of things they're going to need to do in the post-Tommy Mellott era, which is more of what you said earlier. Third and six, throw the ball for 7 yards and pick up a first down. They have that ability. South Dakota State, they did what they did last week with Chase Mason and defense, and that's going to be how they're going to try to beat Montana State. It's Gold Rush in Bozeman. It's a night game. It's going to be very, very exciting, sir.
Yeah, this game on paper, you know what you're going to get. You know what it's going to look like. We just don't know how it's going to play out. The Bobcats are going to stack the box, and they're going to force Chase Mason to beat them with his arm. Can he do it? There's a question mark there. I'm asking that. I don't think anybody in the subdivision knows the answer, and I don't think we learned that answer last week against that Sacramento State team. I talked about all of the jumbo, the 12, the 13 personnel. What you see is what you get. South Dakota State is not going to hide a damn thing. They're going to run the ball on third and three. They're going to run the ball on first down. It is pretty obvious what they want to do. It's just a matter of, are you man enough and do you have the guys to stop it? In this case, I think Montana State does. For me, this is the battle of the third downs. South Dakota State 5 of 15 last week. If that trend continues, they're going to get beat here.
Mississippi Valley State is at number 4, Tarleton State. You know, Mississippi Valley State scheduled this football game. Tarleton State was a fresh move up to FCS, and I think maybe they thought this was an out-of-conference game they could get. Well, Terrell Buckley is their head football coach down there now for the Delta Devils. Fans from around the country will recognize that name. He was a pretty good cornerback in the NFL for a lot of years, but it's his first year, and it's going to take him a minute to get players down there. Mississippi Valley State doesn't have near the facilities or the money Tarleton State does, but they'll show up there. They'll play tough, but Tarleton State's probably going to be favored in this one by a lot, and if you're Mississippi Valley State, possess the ball. Keep Victor Gabalis off the field. Try to play the long game in this one and see if you can hang around and steal one at the end.
Yeah, tough game to preview here. Tarleton State, obviously a heavy favorite. I think they take the field looking to go 3-0. I think this is a game where you open up the playbook if you're Tarleton State. You have everything in front of you. You're firing on all cylinders. Your quarterback is seasoned. You have a guy like Trey Page, who I think surpasses the 100-yard mark on the ground. I think he surpasses 200-plus all-purpose in this one and flexes his muscle. This is a Tarleton State team who sees the light at the end of the tunnel and is starting to play ball and starting to realize that they're a top five team. Not sure Mississippi Valley State has much in store for them. Interesting to find out.
St. Thomas is at number 5, Idaho. And Idaho has some very interesting helmets for this thing. Notice that the matchup isn't great. St. Thomas coming in to Moscow to play Idaho. Well, their helmets are going to say the Fighting Taters this week. That's interesting to me. I get it. Idaho, potatoes. But there is no rumor that in this guarantee game that St. Thomas is going to be paid in small potatoes. Number 6, South Dakota is at Lamar. 2-3 years ago, this would have been a 58-3 job, Stone. Not anymore. Lamar has been much improved the last couple of years. They're going to be much better this year. It's tough sledding, though, to try to think that you got a very, very upset South Dakota team coming in who got whipped by an FBS squad, Iowa State, last week, coming into your place. But you have to think, if you're Lamar, if you can start this thing well, maybe it snowballs on the Yotes. And that has to be what they're hoping for. But those type of things don't happen to a team that has a season of a veteran under center as Aiden Bauman. And I don't see that happening, but it could. If you're Lamar, that's what you have to hope have happen. Don't really see it. I think Aiden Bauman's a very steadying presence on that South Dakota football team. Really looking forward to this one.
Steady Eddie goes Aiden Bauman. I think a lot of the plays that they thought they were going to hit on, that they thought they dialed up against Iowa State, are actually going to hit against Lamar. I think you're going to see the shots down the field from Aiden. I think you're going to see some of that single back, some of these explosive plays in the run game go for 15, 16 plus. I think this is a game. You mentioned that scoreline and what it might be 2-3 years ago. I actually think we get that this week. This is a spot where South Dakota is going to put the same exact game plan as last week in place, and it's all going to work out for them.
Central Washington is at number 7, Montana. Welcome Montana Grizzlies and their fans to the 2025 football season. Last week was their bye week. Didn't have a Grizz game last week. And I don't really think we're going to have much of a Grizz game this week either with Central Washington coming in. Montana should handle this bunch. Maybe we'll see somebody step forward in the quarterback battle for a Montana Grizzly football team. It's got to start this week if you're IAT. You have to just grab a hold of this quarterback position and make it absolutely obvious to everyone that has a pair of eyes that you're the guy and you should be the guy. And I hope for my friends who are Montana Grizzlies fans that it happens. Morehead State is at number 8, Illinois State. In college football, what a difference a week can make. Last week, you're lining up against the Sooners. This week, you got Morehead State coming in. Everybody is going to play in this ball game. But if you're Brock Spack, the head coach of Illinois State, maybe you don't want them to finish the game, not because they're not healthy, but because you run Morehead State out of your stadium, which is what I think probably happens here. Illinois State is a team that everybody is high on, but if you ask them why, they immediately go to quarterback and running back. Illinois State usually has that really standout defensive player. I'm waiting for that guy to rise up, and who that's going to be, maybe we find out in this ball game at home against Morehead State this week.
Copy-paste for a lot of these matchups here in the sense of got a bad taste in your mouth. Didn't really have an opportunity to showcase who you are as a team as a whole. Well, you have an opponent in front of you that allows you to do that. Got to get back on track. You scored 3 points total last week. I get it. It's a really good Oklahoma team. But Morehead State, it's more like it. No pun intended.
Colgate is at number 9, Villanova. Villanova, this is their first football game of the season. They also had the week off last week. I don't know what that must have been like, Stone, as a football fan, a lover of the game, to watch everybody else play the thing that you've been practicing for since last season, and you don't get to play the first week. I think that would just be a horrible, horrible week to have to get through. So, you know, Villanova's just chomping at the bit to actually just get out there. Colgate, this is a squad that, coming from the Patriot League, you look at them and you think, well, they're a Patriot League team. Well, I saw two pretty darn good Patriot League teams play each other last week in Richmond and Lehigh. I think Colgate will have a little something for a while in this ball game, but Villanova just has more athletes at every position, I do believe.
The preview segment will roll on right after these messages from our sponsors.
Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com.
And I think Villanova last year was very good quarterback play away from not just having a nice little run in the FCS playoffs to having a really deep run in the FCS playoffs. And you mentioned McQuaid. He's got all the skills. I'm excited for what Villanova is going to have on the offensive side of the ball this year. This one intrigues me. West Georgia is at number 10, Nichols. And a lot of people are going to scratch their head and say, well, who's West Georgia? Well, this is a ball club that went into Samford last week and just beat them up, punched them in the face, grabbed them by the throat, and just whipped Samford at their place in the season opener. And it's the second year in a row that West Georgia has beat Samford. They have some guys on the offensive line that have an experienced quarterback. I'm high on this West Georgia team. This will not be an easy game for the Nichols Colonels. Number 24, Stony Brook, is at number 11, Rhode Island. This is a pivotal early season CAA matchup. Stony Brook, Coach Billy Koch, we've talked about him ad nauseum. End of last season, preseason show. He's a good football coach. He's turned that program around. The Rhode Island, experienced quarterback, Pena, the linebacker. This is going to be a tough test on the road for the Seawolves, Stone.
Yeah, Devin Farrell's back for Rhode Island. This is a team we have in the top 15 that we think can make a jump, make this thing real interesting. I obviously picked number one, undoubtedly, to finish in the CAA. I think Rhode Island here, I think the Rams are a sneaky, sneaky top 10 team by the end of the season here, and they're looking to go back to the playoffs. I like this Rhode Island team, and I love them here.
Number 12, Southern Illinois, is at Purdue of the FBS. Purdue is gettable, Stone, by this Southern Illinois team. Quarterback play is solid, but can they hold up on the defensive side of the ball? Can they last against an FBS team for 60 minutes? I believe they can, and I think Southern Illinois is going to give Purdue all they won't, plus a whole lot they didn't ask for, brother.
So I always talk about North Dakota, the Fighting Hawk squad, being a team that is always ready for the superior foe, the FBS opponent. So is Southern Illinois, and so is head coach Nick Hill. He's going to have some shots dialed up in the openers. DJ Williams is going to be turned loose. I think this, like you mentioned, is going to ride on how much this Saluki defense wants to hold up. If they can hold Purdue to under 30, this thing will 100% get awkward. But if this defense can't slow them down, they're going to lose this game. I like Southern Illinois in this spot. Like I said, a lot of gadget plays, a lot of gimmicky stuff that I think is going to be dialed up at the right times. SIU is going to score points here, Kev.
Portland State is at number 13, North Dakota. We mentioned it in the top 25 segment about South Dakota. You can't let the FBS game beat you twice. Well, not similar circumstances between those two teams. North Dakota feels like they left money on the table. They left a W on the table last week at Kansas State. Portland State got blown out by Tarleton State in week one. I'll say this for Bruce Barnum. He don't mind playing people at a conference, that's for sure. Going to be tough to go on the road in the Alera Center where good teams go to die with probably not the best Portland State team in the last 5 years.
If you're Portland State here, you're really just rolling your eyes as a player. Oh, we got to go out and do it again, right? You get blown out by Tarleton State. You get the doors blown off you by BYU. And then you got to go play the Fighting Hawks at their place, a team that defends home turf better than just about anybody.
Number 14, Austin Peay is at number 5, Georgia of the FBS. Yikes. There's levels to this FBS thing, y'all. If you're Austin Peay, you know why you're playing this game. You're playing this game for money and to compete and see how you do against an SEC team of the caliber of the Georgia Bulldogs. And I believe Austin Peay will compete. They'll get paid, come out of it healthy, move on along the season with goals now that you talked about in the locker room in the preseason that are starting to maybe come to some fruition.
Yikes. There's just not much to see here, Kevin. I mean, just close your eyes and listen to when I say this. Austin Peay going to the hedges to play Kirby Smart and his Georgia Bulldogs. It's going to be a long day, but get paid and stay healthy.
Number 18, Chattanooga's at number 22, Tennessee Tech. This will be a Southern Conference game next year, which is a beautiful thing, right? Tennessee Tech is joining the SoCon, and Chattanooga, pretty close for them to play another Tennessee school. This is a matchup that intrigues me. Bobby Wilder is a hell of a football coach. Really interesting matchup here. Chattanooga, they didn't look very good last week against their FBS opponent, but Chattanooga's got dudes. They've always got dudes. But can they find something to bring it all together? And if they can, Tennessee Tech's in some trouble at home. Number 20, Jackson State is at Southern Miss of the FBS. This is a gettable FBS game for Jackson State, Stone. They have some guys on the outside that are burners, the quarterback can get them the ball. But more important than that, they have a defense that has, and I'm going to use your favorite phrase, some skill position guys playing defense for them in the secondary. Southern Miss is not just going to be able to line up and run the football right at them and beat Jackson State. They're going to have to do some things in the passing game, and Jackson State has the guys to defend that. This is a sneaky good ball game. I expect this one to go all the way down to the final gun. When you come right back to FCS Nation, Stone Labanowitz will sit down with TJ Baldwin, fine linebacker of the Richmond Spiders, who is our Alpha's Lemonade Stand Northwestern Mutual Honorary Captain of the Week. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. It's the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I butt face mask, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football. Up first, number one, North Dakota State is at Tennessee State.
I like the Bison. I like them by a wide margin here. Give me them 35-13 over Tennessee State. They're going to score one late here to give them 13, but this one's a blowout from start to finish for the Bison.
North Dakota State continues their march through the South, and it's been destructive so far. And after this week, somebody's going to ask Coach Tim Polasek if he wants to wear a bow tie. Take number one, North Dakota State over Tennessee State, 41-13. Number two, South Dakota State is at number three, Montana State.
I struggled picking this one until I came to my senses. This is a Montana State victory. It has it written all over it. I talked about South Dakota State not changing anything in their game plan. What you see is what you get. You got an opponent in Montana State who not only knows you, who's not only seen you in recent history, but knows exactly how you're going to play. play. So Montana State is going to spend all week game planning. In South Dakota State, I'm not going to sit here and say, isn't going to game plan. That would be idiotic. But they're going to practice the exact same plays and game plan. The exact same game plan is put in place as it was last week against Sacramento State. So I think Montana State is going to be able to dial up certain wrinkles on defense that'll give South Dakota State trouble. Here's the kicker. Here's the deciding factor in this ball game here. Montana State is going to load that box and make Chase Mason beat them with his arm. I, at this moment, don't think he can do so. I don't necessarily think it's his fault. I think it's who he has around him. Key on the backs here, there are obvious running situations the Jacks will find themselves in. It's the third and 13s that I'm worried about. There's nobody really out there to catch the ball and do damage behind the defensive backs' heads. Like Montana State in this one, at home, Kev, will be on site. Montana State, 28. South Dakota State, 17.
The Bobcats have never lost in Bozeman with me on the sideline. That trend ends here. Take number 2, South Dakota State, over number 3, Montana State, 28-24. Mississippi Valley State is at number 4, Tarleton State.
Give me Tarleton State. Give me the Texans, 48-7 over Mississippi Valley State.
The Tarleton State Texans have been extremely impressive. They'll handle the Delta Devils without any problems. Take number 4, Tarleton State, 38-7. St. Thomas is at number 5, Idaho.
Idaho fancies running the rock, so you're not going to see many high-scoring performances for them this year. Give me Idaho 28, St. Thomas is 7.
Vandals are mad and they're hurt after last week, feeling like they should have gone that 8 miles back from Pullman to Moscow with a victory. Well, they'll take it out on the Tommies. Take number 5, Idaho, at home in the Kibbe Dome, 34-10. Number 6, South Dakota is at Lamar.
I like Bauman. I like the Yotes. I like everything that they're going to have going this Saturday. Give me South Dakota, 42, Lamar, 13.
The Yotes going to get their stuff in a pile on the road in Texas this week. Take number 6, South Dakota, 31-17 over Lamar. Central Washington is at number 7, Montana.
Give me Montana, 30 to Central Washington, 7.
The Montana Grizzlies start their season off with a roar, and they'll whip Central Washington, 45-13. Morehead State is at number 8, Illinois State.
Illinois State, I think this week will get their stuff in a pile. Didn't really have a chance to do as they pleased, to do everything that they practiced in the winter, in the spring, in the summer, in the fall. Well, now you get that opportunity against a not-so-strong Morehead State team. Give me Illinois State 35 to Morehead State 7.
This is a welcome opponent for the Illinois State Redbirds. After facing Oklahoma last week, you get home, you can feast on the Eagles of Morehead State. Take number 8, Illinois State, at home, 41-7. Colgate is at number 9, Villanova.
McQuaid's going to have a day here. Give me Villanova, 38 to Colgate's 7.
Number 9, Villanova will easily brush away Colgate. Take Villanova at home, 38-14. West Georgia is at number 10, Nichols.
A tight one, low-scoring affair, contrary to what I say when I talk about this Nichols team, all because of Deuce Hogan. He's got a lot of transfers in the skill position. So with that being said, it takes a little bit of time to gel. Well, I think they gel here against West Georgia just enough to skate by them. Give me Nichols 23 to West Georgia's 14.
First upset special of the week. And this one, it's a tough one to pick. But Nichols been kind of riding high a little bit. Now, it all kind of fell apart at the end of that ball game last week. Going to take some putting back together. West Georgia's a solid football team. Probably should have had them in our top 25. This week, well, you want to be there next week? Handle your business on the road at Nichols. I believe they will. Take West Georgia on the road over number 10 Nichols, 28-21. Number 24, Stony Brook is at number 11, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island's got their guy back, and he will light up this scoreboard. Gimme Rhode Island, 33 to Stony Brook's 21.
We've talked about it, Stone. Rhodey has an experienced quarterback and a star on defense. Those two carried Rams to a W in this game. Take number 11, Rhode Island, over number 24, Stony Brook, and a close one, 28-23. Number 12, Southern Illinois is at Purdue of the FBS.
Had a hard time landing on a total on each side in this one. I said it in the preview segment. I think Southern Illinois scores points in this one, 28 of them, but it won't be enough. Purdue wins this one, 35-28.
I'm tempted, Stone.
I'm tempted. You couldn't do it, or else they call you a homer. I'm tempted, but I just can't pull the trigger. I think the Salukis get worn out late in the fourth quarter in this one, and depth wins more than better football players or a better football team. Take FBS Purdue over number 12, Southern Illinois, 30-21. Portland State is at number 13, North Dakota.
Give me the Fighting Hawks here, 42 to Portland State's 3.
Take number 13, North Dakota at home over Portland State, 38-13. Number 18, Chattanooga is at number 22, Tennessee Tech.
Play it at your own risk, but give me Tech 21-17 over the Mocs.
I agree with you on this one, Stone. And my question was, can Chattanooga win an out-of-conference game for the honor of the SoCon? No. No, they will not. Upset special of the week number 2, take number 22, Tennessee Tech at home over number 18, Chattanooga, 31-30. Number 20, Jackson State is at Southern Miss of the FBS.
I'm tempted here. I'm not pulling the trigger, though. Southern Miss wins this one 28-14.
Tigers have a real shot here, y'all. Way more than a puncher's chance. But just like that Southern Illinois game, it's going to be hot down there. Southern Miss has more bodies, and I think that gives them the advantage. Southern Miss will hold off number 20, Jackson State, 27-21.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Pleased to welcome into the show, Season 3 edition of our Honorary Captain of the Week series that we have ongoing from now until the end of the season. You heard it. We previewed it a while back when we brought Liz Scott and you heard Chris Schenkel say it. 20-plus athletes, 20-plus schools. We're doing it bigger and better than ever. Last week, Honorary Captain, Aiden Bauman, quarterback, signal caller for South Dakota, and Chris Schenkel, managing partner for that office up in Sioux Falls, Northwestern Mutual. Well, Season 3, this is Week 2, bringing on a spider friend of the show. Welcome back, TJ Baldwin, redshirt sophomore. Coming off an injury last year, so has a lot of high expectations. TJ, first and foremost, thank you so much for giving the show some time this week.
Yep, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Alongside him, Honorary Captain Part 2, Jordan Stevenson, Financial Advisor, Development Officer for the Northwestern Mutual Virginia Group. Jordan, you're also a friend of the show. You and I, our relationship has grown over the years, and I can only see it trending upward. You as well, sir. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, Stone, absolute pleasure. It was a ton of fun to get involved last year, and seeing this thing grow from 12 to 22 athletes over the 3 years since we've started has been awesome. Working with you and teaching has been a blast, man. Looking forward to this year as well.
I love it. I love it. Hey, let's start right there. Thanks for the alley-oop, Jordan. You talk about the expansion. This is Season 3, so obviously we've had a few cracks at this thing. We, in the first season, managed to raise just under that $50,000 mark. Last season, nearly $70,000, so equating to over that $100,000 mark. That's something that I personally take a lot of pride in. I know every single managing partner involved. I know every single athlete that has been on the list. Now we have an alumni list, is super proud of that. TJ, when this was first thrown at you, when this was first brought to your attention and you were explained, hey, we're going to, if you allow us, use your name, image, and likeness, use your popularity, use somebody coming from high school who's won state championships, who has been All-State, who is now at a Division I school on scholarship, we're going to use a guy like you who is fundamental in our Richmond Spiders program to help raise money and awareness for something like childhood cancer. When you look back at it, did you see it growing into Season 3 and onward? And obviously you're going to be with us for the near future, or did you just think this was a one-year thing? Be truthful in this.
Honestly, because I got hurt, I didn't really get that much community back support just because I wasn't really around on the field. I was focused on my rehab and stuff. So I really thought it was going to be a one-season deal, but I'm blessed to be back, and I'm really tuned to get more community engagement in all of this.
Yeah, TJ, for you, a little over $6,000 last year. Jordan, why is it that TJ is back? What is it about him? Obviously, we know what he's like on the field inside that bucket, but off the field when he takes it off, why is it that TJ is back for us Season 3 and also a second time for him?
Yeah, son, it's funny. TJ is one of the most humble guys I've ever met, man. And our core values in the Virginia group are giving, growth, and grit. And you take a high school all-star, suffers an injury, and while he's rehabbing, he's off the field at all of these community engagement events, raising money for a charity, partnering with an organization like us. Now he's back on the field Field work through the injury, starting and coming back for a second season. I think it's just a story written for the storybooks, man.
So TJ, for you, let's talk a little bit of football, obviously, to give this audience some context of who you are before we get into your personal life and kind of what drives you and what your why is. You're coming off an injury last year. If you want to talk about coming off of that injury into the offseason, now being in this new one as you get older and you start to find a solidified role on this team, kind of take us through that TJ Baldwin getting injured, finishing the season, and now up until this point, week two, kicking off with Wofford in a few days.
I think me getting hurt, honestly, was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I mean, I was really down in the dumps when I was when it first happened against Elon, and I think I'm gonna have to come back this year and do even more than I was doing last year.
Jordan, you talked about TJ being one of the most humble kids that you've ever met. If I can remember, TJ, we recorded our interview last season for this same cause a week after you were injured, or a week after you had gotten surgery, or it might have been days. What was it?
I think it was days.
I think it was a few days after TJ got injured, had surgery, that he hopped on and talked about, or just used his voice and used this platform to raise awareness. Jordan, I think something that I always ask some of the managing partners, and for you, financial advisor and development officers, is why is it so important that we have athletes, humble athletes, the type of athletes that we have on this list to kind of lead the charge in something like raising awareness for what we will get into here in a second, but Alex Lemonade Stand and their foundation and everything that Liz Scott and her husband Jay put in place.
Well, I think it's the same reason why we recruit student athletes so heavily to our internship program. And when you look at our leadership team at Northwestern Mutual, 2/3 of them are former student athletes coming from that program. It's because whether you lose the game or you win the game on Saturday, Stone, the only thing that's guaranteed is you're going back to practice on Monday, right? There's a level of grit to when they commit to doing something, they put 100% of their effort into it, and they have a natural ability to attract others to that cause. So when we heard about this program and we were connected to TJ, we knew it was a no-brainer to get them involved.
I love what you said there as far as regardless what happens, you're showing back to work on Monday. That is a really cool perspective, and I don't think a lot of people have it, so I appreciate you for dropping just these gems on FCS Nation. Again, having a chat here, Jordan Stevenson, financial advisor, development officer for the Northwestern Mutual Virginia Group, and alongside him, our honorary captain, TJ Baldwin, redshirt sophomore for the Richmond Spiders, puts his hands in the dirt and gets dirty. TJ, if you could kind of touch on what Jordan just hinted at there about how, you know, not necessarily how 2/3 of their interns are former athletes, what would you say to Richmond Spiders students, your fellow classmates, some of your teammates whose majors maybe align with what Northwestern Mutual wants to do and the type of students and grown and young men and women, kind of what would you say to them as far as why they should take that internship up? Obviously, you don't have a lot of time on your schedule as a college football player, but if you did, I'm sure you would be much more involved in that space, but kind of talk to your classmates who look up to you and kind of look for you for advice and direction a little bit.
I know a couple of teammates that already do the internship, and I know those guys are sharp, and I know we got the best guys around, right? Northwestern Mutual.
And Jordan, why do you guys want to make your footprint bigger on campus? TJ just talked about having some teammates that are involved. Kind of you as well, talk to TJ's classmates. Obviously, TJ is somebody who his teammates, obviously, but people around school, people who are also Richmond Spiders and take pride in doing that, look up to and listen to. So kind of, again, one, why do you want your footprint to be bigger? And two, why should they intern with you guys? And kind of what is it long-term for them?
Yeah, Stone, I think what we're looking at right now is a class of college students that unfortunately were impacted by COVID, right? And if you remember, global shutdown, classes were virtual, not a lot of in-person networking or face-to-face communication. And what we're inviting these students and athletes to do through our internship is not just come in and shadow or do a couple of case studies and do a little bit of analytical work, but actually get their hands dirty, meeting face-to-face with prospective clients, learning how to grow a book of business, and whether they're going to end up being a financial advisor working with Northwestern Mutual or go elsewhere to, you know, spread their wings in other industries. I think it's a key area that's missing for our students these days, and we're looking to provide them with that opportunity.
I love it. That's beautifully put. Hey, again, I just want to reset here. TJ Baldwin, Richmond Spider Honorary Captain of the Week, and alongside him, Jordan Stevenson, Financial Advisor and Development Officer. Listen, Alex Lemonade Stand, guys, this foundation began, I don't know if you know the backstory as well as our audience probably does, Jordan, I know you do, but TJ, this foundation began with a single front yard lemonade stand started by a four-year-old named Alex Scott. She was battling neuroblastoma. She wanted to raise money to help doctors help other kids like her. And when I had an interview with her mom, she talked about how when she became sick, this lemonade stand raising money just gave her the energy to wake up in the morning and go, go, go. And I think that was the coolest thing. Her legacy lives on through their foundation, obviously with the mission to find cures for all children battling cancer. To date, the foundation has raised over $250 million, funding 1,000 plus research projects alone and offering countless support to families across the U.S. and Canada. Jordan, let's get into Northwestern Mutual and Alex's lemonade stand and their relationship. It's huge. It's big time. Now, these, since 2012, Northwestern Mutual has donated well over the $60 million mark to the cause overall and has also funded 700,000 plus, a lot more than that, hours when it comes to research through their partnership. Talk about what that's been like. Some people that you've been blessed enough to meet throughout the partnership and kind of how their mission goals align with Northwestern Mutual.
Yeah, I mean, it's been phenomenal getting to partner with Alex's over the last couple of years. I think two things that are important for your everyday individual that's looking to get partnered with a great cause out there, right? I think number one, most charities out there, Stone, believe it or not, have an expense ratio of about 65% to 75%. Alex's is at 89%, meaning every single dollar we send to them, 89 cents is going directly to curing that childhood cancer. Number two, they've come out with the Crazy Eight Initiative. And really what this is they brought together the top 100 scientists and researchers across the world to lay out a roadmap to identifying a cure and identifying key initiatives to where so that us as the donators know exactly where our dollars are going and how we're seeing an impact there. So having that sense of clarity with a charitable partner is something that not only us as Northwestern Mutual can get behind, but we can reach out to our partners in the community and explain to them clearly exactly why we're involved in this initiative. So it's been a blessing for us. Take it a step further. Northwestern Mutual has actually created the Lemon Top Challenge, where not just us involved in the company, but our partners can post a photo of them, lemon on their head, any social media platform, tag Alex's Lemonade, tag Northwestern Mutual, hashtag Lemon Top Challenge, hashtag One Richmond. Northwestern Mutual is going to donate $10 to the cause under TJ's name. So getting to see them go a step further and take some of our hard-worked earnings and donate to this cause on behalf of our folks involved in the community is really exciting as well.
Poetry in motion there from Jordan Stevenson, folks. I absolutely love it. TJ, when you hear these giant numbers being rattled off and these initiatives and this partnership alone, it is different than most, dare I say, 90% of NIL deals that you see athletes getting involved in, right? You'll see somebody pop up with a clothing brand. You'll see somebody pop up at a car wash, whatever the case is, car dealership. But there's something different about this. It's using our name, image, and likeness for something a lot bigger than us. Is that how you see it?
That's exactly how I feel. I think it's definitely more so about pushing a positive like message and trying to spread awareness for Alex's Lemonade Stand.
I think it is about spreading a positive message. And I think for all of the other athletes on the list, as honorary captains, it's your job to do what you can to raise the most amount of money. Obviously, you want to hoist a lemon trophy, TJ.
Yep.
Kind of call out the Richmond Spider fan base and why they should donate to you, to the Virginia office, in making Richmond victorious in this and how they can improve on last year, because you'll be on the field 24/7 each and every Saturday.
Well, I think we can look at my the links are in my bio. They're on all of my socials.
Anything helps, of course. And you also don't have to donate money. You can participate in the Lemon Top Challenge, just like Jordan mentioned a little while back. Jordan, now I will pass the mic to you to call out Richmond Spiders, the fans, everybody involved, everybody who is a supporter of that Spiders program, why they should donate.
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time on campus last year at Stone, and I've got to say the Spiders have some of the strongest alumni networks in the state of Virginia by far. We had the pleasure of going out there for the William and Mary rivalry game, and things got a little bit heated. So what I'm going to ask of the fans and alumni is to bring the same energy you bring to those games, to this fundraising cause. Whether it's $1, $100, $1,000, we don't care. Whether it's a Lemon Top photo, we just want to reach as many folks as we possibly can. What's most important to us is to spread awareness. The financial component of that will follow. So whatever you can do to get involved, we certainly encourage to do so. My last little plug is for the students on campus as well. We're going to be on campus multiple times throughout the semester. semester, please come out and see us. Join us at a tailgate, at a fundraising event. We'd love to meet you, shake your hand, and see if we've got an opportunity here for you at Northwestern Mutual as well.
I love it. I love it right there. That plug, yes, because there will be some things happening on site. I think each athlete and their representing office in partnership, obviously with Northwestern Mutual, Alex Lemonade, and FCS Nation, us, myself, my co-host Kevin Marshall, will be getting involved. Not only going to represent their school and calling fans out to be raising money, but also we'll be hosting community-facing events throughout the season. There will be opportunities for guys like TJ to sign autographs. So if you're a fan, you can also grab food with TJ at local restaurants. Whatever Jordan and his group decide to come up with, stay tuned, because obviously it'll be all over our social medias at FCS Nation Radio 1 on Twitter, Facebook, same exact thing. And obviously you can follow Jordan's office on Facebook and TJ Baldwin, obviously, Teray for Ease on Twitter for his updates, because he'll keep you in the loop as well. TJ, I want to start with you. First of all, good luck with your Wofford game. Kickoff 6 p.m. on the East Coast. Thank you so much for giving the show some time.
Yep, thank you. Glad to be back.
Yes, glad to be back. And Jordan, for you, thank you so much. There are so many nuggets, like I mentioned 5-10 minutes ago, that you've dropped on the floor for everybody to pick up and run with. And also the call-outs have been great. The Lemon Top Challenge, everything partnership and initiative-wise that you guys have going on, and obviously the events that you and TJ will be putting on for the fans. Thank you so much for that, and obviously for joining the show. I can't thank you enough.
Absolute pleasure, Stone. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Lemanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.